and welcome back to Out of the Woods. As promised, live music here in the studio this week. Sarah McQuaid is here. Hey, welcome, Sarah.
Thank you so much, John. It's lovely to be here.
See, you brought the rain with you. We definitely needed that.
Yeah, I think the powers that be are trying to make me feel at home now that I'm just about to go back to England. You know, it's been raining for the last 2 days. I've also been without internet or phone signal for the last 2 days, which also makes me feel right at home. So thank you so much for letting me use your Wi-Fi while I'm here doing the interview. It's great.
Oh, absolutely.
For a touring musician, you've no idea. It makes such a difference.
Excellent.
Oh. Dear, oh dear, oh dear.
And there's proof, folks, right there. That, we're all wired up here.
That was navigation. Sorry.
Guess you found us.
Yeah, we did. We did. We're in the right place. Thank goodness. Otherwise, I'd be really confusing somebody who was sitting here, you know, wondering who he was interviewing.
Great. Well, you got your guitar with you.
Yeah.
And some songs.
Yeah.
So what would you like to do first?
I thought I'd start with a song from my new album, Walking Into White. It came out last year, and a bunch of the songs on the album are all were all inspired by a series of books that I was reading aloud to my children over the course of about a year and a half before I made the album. The books are called The Swallows and Amazons, and they were written by a guy called Arthur Ransom back in the 20s and 30s. And situations, as I was reading them, situations in the books kept striking me as wonderful sort of metaphors for life. So this one that I'm about to sing comes out of three of the books in the series are all set in a part of England called the Norfolk Broads, which, if your listeners are wondering, that's not a reference to tough ladies from Norfolk. It's the Norfolk Broads are a network of tidally influenced waterways. So when the tide is in, you can sail your boat around. But then when the tide goes out really quickly. And if you haven't paid attention and kept to the recommended deep water channels, when that happens, you can get stuck in the mud. And if you get stuck in the mud, there's absolutely nothing that you can do except sit there in your boat, in the mud, and wait for the tide to come back in and lift you out of the mud that you're stuck in. And when I read that, I just thought, oh, wow, this, you know, totally metaphor. So it just seemed to cry out for a song. So I wrote one, and here it is. It's called The Tide. These tidal waters tell a lie. Their broad and shining surface hides a narrow path through muddy shallows marked by secret signs. The channel twists and turns, and heaven help you if you try to find a shorter way across, or if you fail to read the signs. You'll run aground with no way out until the turning of the tide. But the tide boat to meet it, feel the water lift you till you're floating free. Hoist your sail and find a channel deep enough to carry you to open sea. Well, there's been time for many tides to fall and rise, since you and I fetched up in shallow waters that have muddied up our lives. The channel flows just out of reach, inside of where we lie, and watch so many ships and sailors gliding effortlessly by. They glance at us with pity in their sad and knowing eyes. But the tide, we're rising tide. We'll be ready with our boat to meet it. Feel the water lift us till we're floating free. We'll hoist our sail and find a channel deep enough to carry us to open sea. The tide will rise in time. We'll be ready with our boat to meet it. Feel the water lift us till we're floating free. We'll hoist our sail and find a channel deep enough to carry us to open sea.
Sarah McQuaid, here live on Out of the Woods. Great.
Thank you.
Very nice.
There was the cat.
The cats liked it. Or not. I can't quite tell.
I don't know. I think the cat was displeased.
That you stopped, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe that was it. You gotta love live radio, don't you?
Yes, it's yes, wonderful. Indeed. Well, after this, very soon you're heading back home.
Yeah, we head home on Tuesday morning. We fly back to England. So this is, we are now just over 6.5 weeks into a 7-week tour. So we flew over on, I think it was the 6th of September, and we're now recording this at the end of October. So it's been quite a tour. We started off in Texas, and then we went west, as far west as Los Angeles, and then we headed up northwest towards Wyoming, and then went through Colorado and North Dakota and Minnesota and Wisconsin and down into the Midwest, down into the South, down into North Carolina, and then back up northwards again through Virginia and D.C. and Maryland and Pennsylvania and New York, and then up into Vermont, and now here we are in New Hampshire, and we're nearly done.
You're certainly a busy person. I was looking at all the dates.
39 shows in 7 weeks. Amazing. It's been intense, but it's been lovely. It's been a really good tour, this. And we've been pretty blessed with the weather. You know, I'm in touch wood. We've still got a few more dates to go. I'm looking around for some wood. I have these lovely out-of-the-woods shutters conveniently located behind me so I can reach over and tap them. It's just so we don't, you know, find ourselves stuck in a blizzard tomorrow or something. But, you know, so far, so good. We are grateful.
They were talking about a little icy mix this weekend.
Were they?
North of here, though.
Oh, north of here. That's all right. That's all right. We're going south. We're going down into Dover and then down into Massachusetts. The last two shows of the tour are both on Cape Cod, so that should be nice.
Oh yeah.
I might get to eat some crab. That'd be nice before we go home again.
So this is sort of home for you coming to the US, because you're all over the place. You grew up in Chicago, right?
I did, yeah. I was born in Spain, which is where my father was from. I grew up in Chicago, which is where my mother was from. And then we moved to Washington, D.C., and then I went to college just outside Philadelphia, lived in Philadelphia for a little bit. Then, meanwhile, my mother and stepfather, who's English, had moved to England, to Cornwall, and I, around the same time, moved over to Ireland, which is where my husband is from and where my children were born. I lived in Ireland for 13 years, and then 10 years ago now, myself and my husband and our two kids moved from Ireland to Cornwall, which is where we moved into what had been my mother's house after she died. And so it was, you know, it wasn't a conscious decision to move. Well, it was a conscious decision. We didn't do it accidentally, but like we hadn't had a long-term plan to move to Cornwall. We moved because of the house, but it turned out to have been a real blessing that we did. It's been a lovely place to live, and it's kind of changed my whole course of my musical career, the move to Cornwall. I don't know if I'd be doing what I'm doing now if we hadn't moved there.
Well, it sounds like you've been on tour your entire life.
Yeah, actually. Kind of feels that way at times. But, it has been a pretty varied life. I spent a lot of years actually working full-time as a journalist and not playing any music at all. And I only came back to the music in 2007, so just under 10 years ago. And it's been fantastic, you know. And I kind of wish I'd done it earlier, but then you can't unwish your life, you know. And you don't know how things would have worked out if you'd done things differently. Sure. Maybe if I'd, gone directly into music, maybe I wouldn't be doing this now. So it's all good.
Well, maybe we could get you to play another one for
us. Okay. Well, actually, what I've just said kind of flows into another song. I wrote a song for the new album called The Silver Lining, which is all about, I'm going to try and retune as I speak. It's all about how sometimes you think you've had a piece of really bad luck, and then in hindsight, it turns out to have been a piece of good luck after all. And here it is. It's called The Silver Lining. Amazed by the providential nature of the choices that I didn't think I made. Sometimes it's good to miss the boat, the ship that sails could fail to float. The job that you were after was a trap, and you'll be happier without it. I don't mind the sun not shining, I can see silver lining through the rain. There's no method to my madness, and I can't help feeling sad. Things don't turn out but the way I thought I planned them. But when I look back on my life, I see things in a different light. Nothing's ever wasted, 'cause one day you might be grateful that you did it. Shining, I can see the silver lining through the rain. We've been through some heavy weather, running hard and falling far behind. But up ahead the clouds are lifting, they say the wind is shifting. I believe the wrong things happen at the right time. I don't mind the sun not shining, I can see the silver lining through the rain.
Sarah McQuaid for you here, live on Out of the Woods. Silver Lining, yeah. Nice.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So you were just talking about your family, and I was checking out some of your bio stuff, and it seems like everyone in your family is involved in the visual arts except for you.
Yeah, well, some of them are involved in music, more in my extended family. Like my mother... played guitar and sang just for fun. I mean, she was an art critic for a living and had been an artist before that. She was a wonderful artist. I've got some of her work in at home in Cornwall, and it's beautiful stuff. I kind of wish she'd continued with that. But she was also a very pretty well known art critic. But my uncle's a journalist, but he also writes musicals. Just recently had a prize-winning musical of his produced One of my cousins, Jamie, is musical education director for the Dallas Symphony Orchestra, so he went into the sort of the orchestral side of music. And his son, Austin, actually is just in his final year of his master's at the New England Conservatory in percussion, so he's looking at becoming a professional orchestral percussionist. He's got some auditions coming up. And then another cousin of mine, Adam Pierce, is a full-time musician and producer. He produced my new album, Walking Into White, and he's also kind of one of these annoyingly talented multi-instrumentalists who can play pretty much every instrument incredibly well. And he's more from the indie rock side of things. He went off touring with an indie rock band called the Philistines Junior back when he was only 16 years old. They went over and toured in England, and I don't know if you're aware of the English radio DJ John Peel and the John Peel sessions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Adam did two John Peel sessions before he was 17 years old with this band. John Peel liked them so much that he invited them back for a second time. And then he went on to form his own band, Mice Parade, which is basically him. Mice Parade is an anagram of Adam Pierce. And he also started working with a record label called Fat Cat, which he now runs. And he's also produced albums for lots and lots of very cool indie bands from places like Iceland and Japan and so on. So I was really lucky that he actually agreed to produce my new album, Walking Into White, and he plays on it as well, plays a load of different instruments on it, from drums to bass to electric guitar to strange little old synthesizers from the 1960s. He really likes his old analog equipment, you know. Yeah. It was interesting. The album was recorded digitally, but he and his engineer Jeremy Backoffen, who also plays on the album, they ran all the stuff through all this analog equipment. And in some cases used super analog techniques, like sticking a little cassette recorder up on a mic stand and using that to, as well as a regular mic, to record my voice, so that you get this kind of tape hiss as well. And, you know, just all kinds of mad stuff. It was a wonderful, wonderful experience recording the new album with them.
Fun. Sarah McQuaid's with us here on Out of the Woods. Maybe we could get another song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I talked about Adam Pierce, who produced the new album, but my first three albums were all produced by a wonderful Irish singer-songwriter called Gerry O'Byrne. And Gerry, he did a beautiful job on all of those albums. But we both felt that after three albums together, it was about time for me to try working with a different producer, and I'd been wanting to work with Adam. But I also wanted to have some continuity with what had gone before, and I didn't want to just look like I was just dropping Gerry like a hot stone or something. So I asked him if he would co-write a song with me for the new album. And he very kindly said yes, and the only difficulty was he was in Ireland and I was in England, so we had to co-write the song via email, sending MP3s and lyrics back and forth, and it took quite a while. We eventually got there after about 6 weeks of sending things back and forth, and this is the result. It's called Leave It for Another Day. I can't begin to explain, wouldn't know what words to say. Leave it for another day. And there is no plan that I can understand. Why do we go your face to tell you it's all right. Remember when we lay in the woods all night? We stumbled home across the field.
Gotta love all that sustain.
It's a beautiful guitar, this. It was made for me by a guy called Andy Manson, a wonderful luthier who's best known for having made that crazy-looking three-necked instrument that Jimmy Page is playing in some old
really?
Led Zeppelin videos and pictures. And he's also made guitars for... He's made a load... Actually, one of his best clients is John Paul Jones from Led Zeppelin. He's made lots of different instruments from mandolins to guitars and strange hybrids of the two, and all kinds of instruments for John. I think he's made something like 18 or 19 different instruments for John Paul Jones and lots of other people besides. Andy Summers from The Police as well. So I'm really lucky to have one of his instruments. And he wouldn't actually agree to make a guitar for me until he'd seen me perform live. So, boy, that was about my biggest audition ever. He said, can I come and see you? Well, first he just said, no, I'm too busy. I've got a real backlog of orders and he has a lot of guitar makers take on assistants and kind of almost become kind of mini factories, but he's really clear on not wanting to do that and wanting all of his instruments to be handmade by himself. And for that reason, he's really limited in the number of instruments he can make a year. So yeah, he explained all that to me and said no, he couldn't make another guitar. And I just begged and pleaded, and because I'd seen one of his instruments years and years ago and had always wanted to have a guitar made by him. And then my big chance came when we moved when I moved over from Ireland to England with my family, and we had just sold our house in Ireland. So I finally had enough money to buy a really good guitar, and I called up Andy, and when he said no, I just begged and pleaded, and eventually he said, well, can I come and hear you play somewhere? And at that point, I was just starting out my kind of solo career. I hadn't really done much, and I had the only thing I could tell him to come to was I was doing a half-hour opening slot for another artist at a big venue in Exeter, not far from where he was based at the time, and So I had 25 minutes to prove myself worthy of a guitar. And luckily, he came backstage afterwards and said, introduced himself and said, "Yeah, I'd love to make you an instrument. Come by the workshop tomorrow and we'll see what we can do." And I went by his workshop and played a bunch of guitars and talked about what I wanted. And he made this beautiful instrument for me, which your listeners can't see, but they can look at pictures of it. There's tons of them.
That's right. That's right. And we're shooting some video today, too.
Oh, cool. Excellent.
And photos, you'll be able to see all that stuff, at least on the Out of the Woods Facebook page. I don't have a whole lot of space for photos on the main page, but yeah. Sarah McQuaid's here on Out of the Woods, and maybe we could get her to play another song on that gorgeous guitar.
Yeah. I've done a few songs now that I've written or co-written, so maybe I should do a cover now.
Sure.
I always like to record at least one cover song on all of my albums, you know, because I think that's important to try and... Oh, here's the kitty cat mewing again. I think that's kind of important to try and get your head into another songwriter's work and try and see what you can bring to somebody else's song while still remaining true to the original. So I've recorded songs in the past on previous albums by people like Bobby Gentry and John Martin. I recorded a cover of John Martin's Solid Air on my third album, The Plum Tree and the Rose. So for the new one, I thought I would record a cover of this song. It was written by Ewan McCall for Peggy Seeger, and it's been recorded by lots and lots of people, not least Roberta Flack, and Johnny Cash recorded this as well, and now I've recorded it too on Walking Into White. So here it is. It's called The First Time Ever I Saw Your Face. Would fill the earth. the end of time, my love, and it would last till the end of time, my love. The first time ever I saw
Sarah McQuaid, here on Out of the Woods, live in our studio. Beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you so much, John.
Well, I think we should take a quick break here for station identification, but we'll be right back after this.